allow God to do the driving and let him care about all of the other traffic on the road. That's a good relationship to have with God. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 6th chapter. And just hold your finger there at Luke, the 6th chapter. And I just want to give you somewhat of a brief introduction on where we're going over the next 3 weeks. Last week, we talked about being a strong church and the necessity of being a strong church. Now, we talked about it in a congregational manner by everyone being involved in it. But we didn't get into the individual. You know, and if you're going to have a strong body, all the muscles have to be toned and working together. And if we're going to be a strong church, it means that we have to all be working together for what God has called us to do in this community. And I was thinking about that, and the Lord brought to me Luke, the 4th chapter, and the 18th verse, and it reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because you have anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. You have sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, for the prisoners, and recovery to the sight of the blind, and to release those in oppression, and to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor." In your life, in my life, there are points in this verse that should ring to us. Number one is this preaching of the good news to us that are poor in spirit, that we can become free after being prisoners for so long. That we can start to see what God wants us to see through his eyes. That if we have been oppressed by the adversary, that God has come to lift us out of our oppression and to bring us into the Lord's favor, his grace. See, right there, you can shout and we can go home. But what this requires of us individually is that we are renewed in our minds. Because the way we thought before salvation will not get us to be who God wants us to be in him. We came to the Lord with fear. We came to the Lord with a lot of problems, with doubt. We came to the Lord bringing some of us had one suitcase, some of us had six suitcases of sin that we brought into our relationship with the Lord. And what God is saying is that in this new relationship that you have with me, I want to rid you of all of those suitcases. I don't even want you to have a carry-on bag. I want to get rid of all of those things that have held you back from having a deep, abiding relationship with me. And then he says to us in Philippians, the 1st chapter and the 6th verse, is that the work, we can be confident that the work he has begun in us, he will continue to completion. In essence, God is not going to have us to become baptized, have us to come into the body of Christ, and then leave us alone. But that plan and that purpose that he has in our lives, he's going to work it out. Not coming halfway or not even coming 80%. He's going to work it out in our lives to completion. When we look at Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 43 through 45, The writer talks to us about a tree and the fruit from that tree. I thought about that for a few days, and I came back and I said, God wants us to be trees of righteousness. He wants us to be right in our relationship with Him. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a little botany, and I know that a tree starts with a seed. And it's how good a soil that seed is planted in. If you plant a seed in the wrong kind of soil, it's not going to grow. So first, we know that in this process of planting a seed, it has to be planted in good ground. It has to be watered. It has to be fertilized in order for it to grow. Now, if you look at bamboo, it says that when you plant bamboo, for a whole year, you don't see anything come out of the ground. And then you'll see a little stalk come up that's normally no more than like 3 inches in height. And then something happens. And that bamboo just shoots straight up very quickly. And it attains 85% of its growth in its first year. Hold on to that thought, because I'm going to come back to you. One of the trees that has always fascinated me was a California redwood. You know, California redwood is a tree that has a trunk that is 10 foot in diameter. And they grow to be almost 400 feet high. Now, the first thing I thought about with that California redwood is, how's it fed? What kind of root system does it have? And the Lord took me back to the book of Psalms, to the first chapter. And in the first chapter of Psalms, verse number 3, it says that the tree is planted by the streams of water, which yields fruit in its season. And whatever he does, he prospers in it. If we are drawing from God's word, if we are in touch with God, if God is, we have a relationship with Him. Now, some of you don't have a relationship with God. He's calling on you. He's reaching out for you. But for some reason, you have refused to have that relationship with Him. Because that relationship comes with studying the Word. That relationship comes with having a prayer life. That relationship with God comes with spending time meditating on God's Word. You can't look to have a relationship with God just totally based upon you asking Him into your life. That's like me being married and never talking to my wife. Day in, day out, we walk through the same house, And the only relationship we have is that one day, some years ago, we stood before a preacher and we made a covenant. But we have never built on that covenant. We have never developed a relationship that is required in a married relationship. And there's a relationship that God requires of us as believers. It's not just get your seat on the bus and wait until it gets to heaven. God says, I'm looking for something from you. Now, when we look at Luke, the 6th chapter, and for a moment, just focus on verse 43. And the writer says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. We had a sickle pear tree in the backyard of the house when we bought it. And for the first summer, we look at that sickle pear tree, and the first thing in my mind was, is it good fruit? And so I grabbed a couple sickle pears and I went around to the side of the house because I didn't want anybody to know what I was doing, and I bit into the sickle pear tree, sickle pear. And it was as sour as all get out. And so I took it, and I didn't even put it in the trash, I just threw it. At the end of the summer, when I had to go out there and rake up all these sickle pears that fell off the tree, I grabbed another one and I bit into it. It wasn't sweet, but it wasn't bitter. In your relationship with God, what kind of fruit are you producing? Are you producing totally sour fruit? Or are you producing very sweet fruit? People that owned the house before us had a little patch of grapes. And I decided I was going to plow them under. So I got my shovel and I went over and I started covering them up. And the people that lived next door to me saw me out there covering them up, and the woman came running out and she said, what are you doing? I said, I tasted the sickle pear, so the grapes got to be like the sickle pear, so I'm covering them up, I'm getting rid of them. And she said, can I have them? And she went and she got herself a bucket, and she took all of the grapes that I had not covered over. Didn't think about anything else until Thanksgiving. And she came outside when I was pulling up and she said, you want to taste this? And I said, I don't drink. And she said, but taste this, just take a little taste. And I tasted it and she said, I made this from those grapes that you were going to turn over in the ground. God wants us to understand that he has a standard for us. And that standard is one that we need to come to understand. He says to us that if you are a good tree, you're supposed to be producing good fruit. Now, we as Christians need to evaluate our lives to see if we're producing good fruit. He goes goes on to say that each tree is recognized by its fruit. One of the things that is fundamental for us as Christians is Galatians 5:22-23, where it says the fruit of the Spirit. And in that, it lists with us five specific things that are supposed to be present in our lives, that are supposed to be active in our lives, that are supposed to be evident to all that see us as being part of our walk with the Lord, as part of our fruit coming off of our tree. And the first thing he says to us is that, you know, that we are supposed to exude with unconditional love. We're not supposed to just have a little bit on our tree, but our tree is supposed to be flowing, growing in unconditional love, because we are part of the tree, we're part of the vine, and being part of the vine, that is one of the things that we're supposed to be showing. And that unconditional love is not in our homes, but that unconditional love starts in our homes, it goes into our churches, and it goes into our community. If we are going to win this community for the Lord, we are supposed to be showering in this community with fruit of unconditional love. Now, you can't have unconditional love in this community and have conditional love in your home. You have to be loving those in your home no matter what their attitudes are. You're supposed to be loving those in your home with the love of Christ. In your home, people are supposed to be saying, I don't know what's going on in that person's life, but the way they are expressing love to me, there must be something going on in their lives that I don't have in mind. People that you know, people in your community, people in your family life are supposed to be running to the church based upon the love that you show towards them. Along with this unconditional love that is deep, that is abiding in you because of your relationship with God, it says that you're supposed to be full of joy. It's interesting when you see a Christian and you say, how are you doing? They say, I'm getting by. I'm taking one day at a time. And their face does not have joy in it, in knowing that every step they make, that God is walking with them, that they're covered with his grace and with his love, and there's nothing that's going on in their lives that they should be getting them down. That if any people in this world should be walking around with a smile on their face and being the upbeat in everything they do, it should be Christians. Because we have something nobody else has. We have the grace of God that walks with us, that is with us and covered with his mercy, that there's nothing in this life that we can't handle through God. Then along with that, this scripture also talks about peace. And God said to us, Jesus said to us before he ascended, that I'm going, but I'm leaving you with peace. Not the peace of the world. I'm leaving you with my peace. Patience. That's one God had to work with me on. I don't know about you. You probably came here and you've had patience all of your life. But that was one that God had to really work with me on, because I didn't have patience. And I want to tell you right now, if you don't have patience and you want God to give you patience, think about what you're asking him for. Because he's not going to give you an aspirin until you wake up the next morning and you got patience. He's going to take you through something to help you to build patience into your life. But it is the fruit of the Spirit that we have patience, that we are God's armor bearers, we are God's marquees of people with patience. Be honest with you, I have a daughter that I've been having patience with since she was 14. Because I believe that if I live long enough, and even if God calls me home, he's going to bring her back into fellowship with him. That's the kind of patience I have. What area of your life do you struggle with patience? What area of your life have you not given to God that he may produce the fruit on your tree that is pleasing to him? Now, along with this patience, God said that we are supposed to be gentle. There's supposed to be gentleness in us. And that our gentleness is supposed to be evident to all who see us. It's not supposed to be something that is hidden in a coat or in a jar and we bring it out when we want to, but our gentleness is supposed to be evident to all we see. Now, the last one that he has there is one that I don't want your face to change when I say it. But he says that you must have self-control. See, I already see it, but just looking here. So that's a hard one for a lot of y'all. But he's saying that if my fruit is in you, if my spirit is in you, then as my tree that is growing in my backyard, you're supposed to be an ambassador of self-control. Not just that you got a little bit of it, but that you're supposed to be an ambassador of it because you are filled with God's spirit, and his God's spirit is the one that is giving you this level of self-control. He goes on and he talks about the mouth. I was on, when I come down to the Broad Street building, sometime I ride the subway, or most of the time I ride the subway. And I was coming down the Broad Street building, and it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it pulled into Alani Station, and all of these young people got on. And you never heard such cussing in your whole life. And I'm sitting there, and I know they're cussing, and they're using cuss words, and they don't even know what they're saying. It was kind of like a badge of honor that I can cuss. Now, let's bring it into this morning. How many of you profess to be Christians? How many of you sitting here right now, don't raise your hand, because I'm not trying to convict anybody, but your vocabulary has not changed. The vocabulary you had before you came to the Lord, those words that you used to say before you came to the Lord, are still part of your vocabulary now. God wants us to know that, let me give you a word picture. Think of a cup, and it's overflowing from your mouth. What comes out of it? What comes out of your mouth, and is it pleasing to God? Is it edifying to God? Is it fruit of righteousness? Or is it something that God's spirit is grieving in you because it should not be coming out of you? Bible says to bless those that curse you. How many times has somebody used negative language to you and you just looked at them and said, bless them, Lord? There's no way they're going to get me to say anything negative about them. Now, if we understand what God is trying to do in us and why he gives this example of a tree, there are three things that you should pick up here. One, the good man has good things stored up in his heart. His heart is full of the energy of faith and him trusting God. Secondly, his desire is always to please God. He does not live to please himself. He continually releases his will to God's will. He is continually repenting of those things in his life that he know is not pleasing to God. His desire is to live a life that is pleasing to God. He does not allow those evil things stored up in his heart that brings about fleshly desires. When we look at this chapter, and I'm going to back up and come right back here. There are certain things that Jesus taught in this chapter that are important for us to know. This chapter was called his Sermon on the Plain. And it had a focus of four specific things that we need to understand. The first thing that it focused on was in verses 20 through 22, and it was the blessed life, the happy life. Now, we call it the Beatitudes, but basically what he was saying to us is that this is something that you need to adopt. This is something that needs to become part of your life. You are blessed if you are poor, for the kingdom, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be fed. And what you see there is that Jesus was teaching his standard of being blessed. Then he goes on in verses 23 through 26, and he comes back with four woes that you need to be aware of. And in verse number 23, he says, 24, but woe to you who are rich, for you already have received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Now, we're going to come back to that in another sermon so that you can get the real essence out of that. But then he comes back and he says that along with you understanding these blessings that are in my way of for you to live is that you need to understand also that I require you to love your enemies. I can stop right there. You know, in the Old Testament, there would be a heavy statement made, and then at the end of the heavy statement, there would be a word saying, Selah. Love your enemies, whether they're in your house or out of your house, whether they're down the street or around the corner. God requires that you love them and that your love be an unconditional, deep love. And then what he says to us is in verse 37 through 42 is that we are not to judge people. So what you can also look at is all four of these standards are supposed to be on your tree. That the fruit that's on your tree should be a fruit of not judging people, should be a fruit of blessings, should also ring forth with understanding those woes so that they do not become issues in your life. God is calling us to a different standard than we see in this world. And then God gives us the grace to keep from sinning. I don't know about you, but I don't know where I'd be without God's grace. Because His grace is even active in my life when I'm not thinking about it. His grace keeps my heart beating. I find myself in situations that I know it is nothing but the grace of God that is keeping me in situations I find myself in. Have you been there? Do you acknowledge God's grace in your life when you understand it? Or is your thing that I'm going through this life on a day-to-day basis and it's nothing but my will and my ability that is keeping me from going under? If you are thinking that way, then you're a fool. Because it's only God's grace and His mercy that you are sitting where you're sitting right now. God says to us that He's looking for us to be trees of righteousness, that His word is bubbling over in us. And when that backs me up to this redwood tree, that they said that the roots in that redwood tree has to be able to draw water out of the soil and take it to the top 400 feet of that tree. And that it is doing that, there is a system inside that tree that keeps the flow from the roots going all the way to the top of that tree all day and all night, 24/7, all year long. That tree is moving moisture and moving nutrients to the top of that tree. In your life, on a 24-hour basis, all day and all night, you are supposed to be in fellowship with God. You're supposed to be doing what He would have you to do so that the fruit of your life is showing forth in His life as being a blessing. For you to be moving 24 hours every day, blessing God, means that your mind has to be stayed on God. You don't have your mind on anything else, because when you take your mind off of God, that's when the system breaks down. God is looking for trees of righteousness from His children that are examples and emblems of Him and His grace and His mercy on their lives. His grace gives us access. 3 points and we will close out here. You must have an abiding relationship with God. John 15, 4, 7, and 10. There must be this faith energy that increases as you submit your life to God on your day-to-day existence. And then three, you need to know that you have access to this grace by faith, Romans the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 2. Let's bow. This morning, I pray, Lord, that you have heard but one statement, that God is calling you to be trees of righteousness that will bring forth fruit of righteousness in your life. That God is looking for you not to just memorize Galatians 5, 22 through 23, but that it becomes a deep part of your life. For you to be a tree of righteousness means that you are repenting daily. You are looking at your life through God's word. You're allowing His Spirit to convict you of those things in your life that He's not pleased with. That you're willing to meet Him in prayer and ask Him those difficult questions about your life, that He may transform you and renew your mind. I pray for each and every one of you here today that this will not be just an ordinary day in your life, but this will be a day of transition, a transition from you living a mediocre life as a Christian, but for you to now desire to be a tree of righteousness, a tree that honors God, a tree that is producing the kind of fruit that God is pleased with. One of the requirements for you to do that is the point that you have a relationship with Him. Not that you are coming to church and there's nothing else going on in your life, but that you have made a commitment to Him. You have, and you're living out that commitment on a day-to-day basis. So I pray for each and every one of you today that if you have not made that deep commitment to God, that you would go into your closet, that you would sit in the chair that you're sitting in now, that you would even this tonight get on your knees and come into a saving relationship with Him. God is looking for redwoods. He's looking for trees that stand tall. He's looking for trees that are growing in their relationship with Him. He's looking for trees that will honor Him, that will glorify Him here on earth. We can be that as we submit our lives to Him. So I pray for you today that you would come into a saving relationship with God and you would live the life that He has called you to. This I ask in your Son's name and for His sake. Amen.
As we sing together. Take my life and let it be. Now, this is a prayer.